Now, let's look at another way in which, by transforming that thinking, we can make our life richer and more enjoyable. Let's look at how we can learn from our mistakes without losing self-respect. In my workshops, I do this exercise by asking people to identify a mistake they've made recently. And when they have identified the mistake, I ask them to tell me what they said to themselves when they saw that they had made this mistake. And I say, if you can't remember exactly what you said to yourself, I'm sure by now you have a pretty good idea of how you usually talk to yourself when you're less than perfect, so just guess what you might have said to yourself. Here are very typical statements of how people tell me they talk to themselves when they're less than perfect. What a stupid thing to do. How could you be such an idiot? That was so selfish. What's wrong with you? They have hundreds of these statements that run through them very quickly whenever they make a mistake. And all of these statements imply wrongness of a sort that deserves for them to suffer for what they've done. It's not hard to understand where this comes from, because I ask the people, what are the first messages you could remember said to you by adults in your life when you did something the adults didn't like? And it's very clear that they are simply repeating to themselves the kind of messages that they heard when they were children who did things that the parents didn't like. That's bad. That's stupid. What's wrong with you? You shouldn't do that. So when these are the first words we've heard from other people when we haven't done what they wanted, of course then we learn how to do that to ourselves. Now we'll know we're doing that to ourselves when we feel depressed, guilty, or shame, because those feelings are a result of our judging ourselves in a way that implies that there is something wrong with us for what we did. This is a very costly way to think. Not only is it costly by how it creates depression, guilt, and shame, but it also has a very negative effect on our bodies. The more we think in ways that create anger, depression, guilt, and shame, the more heart disease. In the medical research, the thinking that creates those feelings is referred to as type A thinking. It's essentially thinking that implies badness or wrongness of a kind that is deserving of blame or punishment. And it's a language, tragically, that the majority of people in our society have been trained to think in terms of. So in the exercise where I have asked people to identify what they tell themselves when they have made a mistake, once they identify this thinking, I then suggest that they transform that thinking into the need that wasn't met, that stimulated the thinking. In other words, I tell them that all of the thinking that makes us angry, depressed, guilt, or shame is a tragic expression of an unmet need. To really learn from this mistake without losing self-respect, we need to mourn, but to mourn without blaming. This is a very important difference in nonviolent communication to be aware of, the difference between mourning and blaming ourselves. Mourning requires that we be connected to our need that wasn't met by our behavior. When we're connected to that, we might feel sadness, frustration, but these are quite different feelings in terms of their effect on our spirit and on our bodies than how we feel when we blame ourselves and feel the depression, guilt, shame. So, We suggest that whenever you see yourself blaming yourself for a mistake, become conscious of the blame, see what you're telling yourself, be conscious that it's a tragic expression of an unmet need, and hear the need that's being expressed behind it. Now, this takes some practice on the part of people because they very often have a very weak need vocabulary. So we suggest that everyone build at least a vocabulary of about 9 words that describe various needs that you have, and at least see if one of those words or more resonate when you're blaming yourself. Because the quicker we can transform a thinking of blame into a thinking of unmet needs, the quicker we're going to be able to learn from our mistakes without losing self-respect. So we call this kind of self-empathy, empathizing with the need being expressed behind self-blame, we call that mourning. Mourning our limitations, that we didn't meet a need by what we did. After we have helped the person to mourn, that is, to see how they're blaming themselves for the mistake, and after we get them to see that the blame is a tragic expression of an unmet need, and when they get in touch with the need to see how they feel sadness or discouragement, but never depression, guilt, or shame, then we teach people self-forgiveness. And we do that by asking them this question. What need were you trying to meet by doing this behavior that we're calling a mistake? Now, that's very confusing for many people because they don't think in terms of what needs were they trying to meet by doing it. They just go quickly to blaming themselves. So it takes people a while on this exercise to stop and say to themselves, now, what need of mine was I trying to meet by doing what I did? So, for example, if it's a parent who is mourning how they screamed at their child and some of the things they said to a child of theirs, they might come out with this. I had a need for his safety and I was scared that what he was doing would harm him. So then the person can see the need they were trying to meet by doing what they did. Now, once people do understand the need that they were trying to meet by doing what they did that we're calling a mistake, there's, again, a relief. They can feel some pain for what they did, but it's a relief to see that they didn't do it because they're a bad person. They did it to meet a need of theirs. And that's what we call self-forgiveness. Because as they say in A Course in Miracles, when we empathize, there's nothing to forgive. So that's how we show people how to apply nonviolent communication when they've made a mistake. First, be conscious of what you tell yourself as a result of making the mistake, and translate the self-judgment that's likely to be there into an unmet need, and that's mourning, and then empathize with what need you were trying to meet by the action that we're calling a mistake, and that's self-forgiveness. Now, sometimes the two needs are the same. That is, the need that wasn't met is very often the need we were trying to meet. However, the strategy we used for trying to meet the need just didn't work. But sometimes the need we were trying to meet does get met, but at the cost of other needs. For example, one night I was in a hotel in one country, and I needed some relaxation. And I got my guitar out and started to play it. And this was meeting my need for recreation and rest. But then the telephone rang, and it was the front desk, letting me know that my playing the guitar was keeping my neighbor awake. Well, then I started to blame myself. Oh, how could I be so dumb, etc. But then I caught myself doing that, and I said, wait a minute. What need of mine wasn't met by what I did? Immediately, I saw that I had a need to be more sensitive and responsive to my neighbor's well-being. But when I got connected to that, I felt sad. But I didn't feel guilty or shame, and I wasn't angry at myself. And in this case, the need that I was trying to meet by playing the guitar was being met, my need for recreation. But my need for respecting my neighbor's health was not met. When I get both those needs in my consciousness, I can learn from the situation without losing self-respect.